seven things you can do in Forza Horizon 4 and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hello and welcome to The Latest in Tech News. I am your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, welcome! Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts and make sure that you're following us. Hit that follow button so that you can be notified when we go live. If you're tuning in via the podcast, welcome! Be sure you hit that subscribe button on the app you're using to listen so that you don't miss out on the latest show. We've kind of been having some bugs in that regard of how things have been going. But hopefully that's been sorted out now, hopefully, or I'm going to start yelling back at iTunes again. But keep in mind that the podcast is about a day behind. You really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. Why? Well, because this is an interactive daily live tech show. And let's just say we play some trivia, we cover some news, we got videos that go along with it, we have interaction that goes on with the chat, we're chatting it up with everybody, and we have some giveaways. So it would pay to join us live. Finally, we are on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. Octavius still needs to be convinced. He's in a good mood today, but he still needs to be convinced why he should be on Twitter and monitoring it. Haven't really given any great arguments so far, but if you have any arguments or opinions or suggestions that might convince Octavius, my pet octopus, who produces the show with me, it would be greatly appreciated. And you're like, what, a pet octopus? Yeah, you're listening to the audio version right now going, what in the world is going on? But for the rest of us who can see Octavius, we know, you know, see, we got this understanding, so we're good. So if you're new here, usually what we do is we cover some trivia and then we'll cover into the latest news of the day. So for those of you who are in the chat room right now and have your trivia hats on, let's head on over there. But before we do, keep in mind this show is brought to you by Tech News Gadget. Did you know that you can become an insider today for only $9.95 a month or $99 annually and help keep this show growing? See, this show wouldn't be possible without people like you. There's a lot of work that goes on in this show and a lot of fun benefits that you guys get out of it by being an insider. Did you know that you get exclusive access to the daily video archives along with your choice of an Octavius plush or insider's coffee mug and more? Pretty cool. Right now, for a limited time, you can get a 10-day free trial of our monthly membership, no credit card required. Head on over to technewsgadget.net/insiders after the show to learn more. So let's head on over here and see the trivia that we have for today. So for those of you who are in the chat room right now, we are going to be having a giveaway. If you answer all three questions correctly, you could be the lucky winner of our giveaway. So if you get all three questions right, we'll be doing that giveaway. So trivia hats on, let's go. First question up today is, these famous tech personalities are all college dropouts except for A, Michael Dell, B, Elon Musk, C, Steve Jobs, or D, Mark Zuckerberg. I'll repeat the question again. These famous tech personalities are all college dropouts except for A, Michael Dell, C, B, Elon Musk, C, Steve Jobs, or D, Mark Zuckerberg. I'm completely flubbing the answer. I would do horribly on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Or is it Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I don't know. Those game shows, they're rigged anyway, so half the money goes to taxes. You don't even get to see it. All right. Answer's coming in. The correct answer to this question is... Oops. Wait, hang on. B, Elon Musk. And for a little bit of background, Michael Dell, founder of Dell, dropped out of college at 19. Steve Jobs, Apple founder, dropped out at 19. Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, dropped out at 20. Elon Musk, the famous South African-born tech entrepreneur, moved to Canada in 1989, was a student at Queen's University in Kingston for 2 years before transferring to the University of Pennsylvania in the U.S., At the age of 24, received a Bachelor of Science in Physics and a Bachelor of Science degree in Economics from the Wharton School of Business. He taught himself computer programming at a young age, and his first stint as a tech entrepreneur came in creating X.com, which later merged with PayPal. Years later, he would go on to found SpaceX, SolarCity, and electric car maker Tesla. So there you go, a little bit of history about Elon Musk. Second question. What is the single best-selling desktop personal computer model? One might require your hard hats. Is it A, the IBM PC, B, the Atari 800, C, the Apple II, or D, the Commodore 64? I'll repeat the question again. What is the single best-selling desktop personal computer model? Is it A, the IBM PC, B, the Atari 800, C, the Apple II, or D, the Commodore 64? The correct answer is D, the Commodore 64. The Commodore 64 took CES 1982 by storm, promising a system that was considerably more powerful than anything offered by the competition while costing only $595, a price that reportedly bewildered Atari employees at Commodore's show booth and was enabled by vertical integration because Commodore had recently bought MOS Technologies semiconductor fabs, and each C64 only cost about $135 to make. Before the end of 1982, Commodore sold some 360,000 units, and that figure nearly quadrupled to 1.3 million in 1983. Roughly the same number of machines sold by IBM and Apple combined. Sales remained well above a million C64s each year for a decade, and depending on who you ask, as many as 30 million systems may have been pushed out of Commodore's plants, though other estimates suggest the number is more like 12.5 million. So, we have a better desktop best-selling edition? I don't know, but the Commodore 64, you see. Man, 1982, look at those graphics. You can just play with the... Oh, man. This looks painful to look at. Isn't technology great that it keeps progressing and getting better? Because if we were stuck playing that, that'd be fun. But after a while, we'd be like, can we get something new, something better? Goodness. The final question for trivia today is, what happens if a CD spins too fast? Will it A, melt, B, separate the disc's layers, C, explode, or D, they're virtually indestructible by spinning? Sorry, I'm needing liquid. I'll repeat the question again. What happens if a CD spins too fast? Will it A, melt, B, separate the disc's layers, C, explode, or D, they're virtually indestructible by spinning? You guys, a couple more seconds to drop the question, your answer in. Octavius, no cheating. Don't cheat, okay? You can't give away the answer on stream. Oh, man. Stupid octopod. The correct answer is C. It might explode. See, although it's unlikely to happen with most discs in most drives, there has been the occasional report of a disc exploding inside a CD-DVD drive. In a majority of those cases, the disc was already damaged and spinning it up was all it needed to shatter. When tested by the TV show Mythbusters in 2003, it took upwards of 23,000 rotations per minute to make a conventional CD explode. That kind of speed is technically achievable with 48X and 52X drives, though the Mythbusters couldn't make a CD explode in a standard, unaltered drive and resorted to other means. So if you're like, hey, look, I can modify it and it spins faster, well, I don't know what the purpose of it really is, but it will shatter. Today, there are many videos of CDs exploding online when being pushed to the limit, including footage of the disc coming apart at 170,000 frames per second, courtesy of the slow-mo guys, and we'll let you go look that up on YouTube. Just type in, I don't know, disc exploding and slow-mo guys. Probably know who they are. So, that's all the trivia for today. It doesn't look like anybody got the correct answers to all the questions, so study up, trivia hats. We will be having trivia again tomorrow. So if you get them all right, you'll be entered into the giveaway, and there's a very good chance you might just win as well. So, for those of you who know the drill, before we can cover the tech news of today, we have to take a look back in history. Today is September 13th, 2018, and on this day in history, in 1983, the Osborne Computer Corporation declares bankruptcy only 2 years after producing the first portable computer, the Osborne 1, clocking in at 24 pounds. Computer industry lore has it that the Osborne effect, as it were, killed the company, but it was also due to competitive pressure and mismanagement. Let's just say when they went to bankruptcy court, they listed assets of $40 million, liabilities of $45 million, and 600 creditors. So yeah, that's the fun thing. Yeah, so now you can say, hey, I know what the Osborne effect is, and people will be like, whoa, are you like from the 80s, dude? Like, totes far out. And you could say, no, I just study my history. On this day, in 1985, Nintendo released the Super Mario Bros. In Japan. It became the best-selling video game for 20 years until it was surpassed by Wii Sports. And finally, on this day in 2000, the public beta of Apple's Mac OS X or X, I can't tell the difference, codenamed Kodiak, I can say that, was released. Users had to pay $29.95 to get access to the beta. Steep price to pay for technology, but you know, that's probably how Apple started getting infected, because they had to release the beta. I don't know. I'm just screwing around. You're like, hey, what's going on with this? Yeah, it's challenging. I'm a PC user at heart. I'm much more familiar with the PC. I'm happy with it. Bodes well for what I need to do. Maybe I'll be convinced into using Mac more one day. I don't know. My wife uses it, but Octavius doesn't. He's a PC guy, so until we get overruled, PCs is gonna be the norm in this house. So, without further ado, let's head on over to today's tech news, shall we? Where's my head? Octavius, put it up. Thank you. You pressed the wrong button, dude. Okay. First news of the day is that, almost all modern computers can be affected by a cold boot attack, according to researchers. Now, this is an article coming to us from CNET. And by the way, if you want the show notes, as well as all the articles that we covered in today's show or shows in the past, all you got to do is head on over to technewsgadget.net. There you'll find the full archives and links for all the shows. Or if you're just watching or listening, not watching. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, literally all you have to do is scroll up and you should be able to tap right on the show notes and it'll take you directly to the article. How cool is that? If it doesn't yell at Octavius, don't yell at me because I don't know what I'm doing, but Octavius says he does. He's laughing at me. He's like, hey, trying to set me up. Shh, don't tell them. Shh. Don't. Shh. No, Octavius. Shh. Anyways, getting into the article. Security researchers have discovered a flaw with nearly all modern computers that allows potential hackers to steal sensitive information from your locked devices. The attack only takes about 5 minutes to pull off, and that's only if the hacker has physical access to the computer. Cold boot attacks can steal data on a computer's RAM, where sensitive information is briefly stored after a forced reboot. Now, these attacks have been known since 2008, and most computers today have a safety measure where it removes the data stored on RAM to prevent hackers from stealing sensitive information. It's also not a common threat for the average person, since both access to the computer and special tools like a program on a USB stick are needed to carry out the attack. But Thurgdahl and researchers from F-Secure said they found a way to disable that safety measure and extract data using cold boot attacks. Now, it takes some extra steps compared to the classic boot attack, but it's effective against all the modern laptops we've tested, he said in a statement. There's no immediate fix for this new vulnerability. The cybersecurity company recommends that you configure your laptops to automatically shut down or hibernate instead of having it enter sleep mode when you close your screen. Now, the company said it has contacted Microsoft, Intel, and Apple about its discovery, and Intel didn't initially respond to a request for a comment. But according to Microsoft, who responded, they said this technique requires physical access. Protect sensitive info at a minimum. We recommend using a device with a discrete, trusted platform module, disabling sleep or hibernation, and configuring BitLocker with a personal identification number. Microsoft further told ZDNet that it's updating its BitLocker guidance, while Apple said all devices using a T2 chip aren't affected. F-Secure's researchers presented their findings at a conference in Sweden on Thursday and are set to present it again at Microsoft Security Conference on September 27th. So for more on the vulnerability, they have links to their sister site, ZDNet, where you can go for more information if you're concerned. But if you're not, I mean, the average user, unless you actually specifically don't trust whoever's repairing your computer or coming over to your house and touching your computer, there's really not much else to worry. I mean, in order to do this, they have to know what they're looking for. They need physical access to your computer, and they need access for an extended amount of time. It's not like they can just sit there and plug it in, plug it out, and, oh, hey, look, I got all your information. No, they actually have to sit there for a couple minutes, 5-10 minutes, and go through all this process, and the computer has to be able to be turned on, blah, blah, blah. Do all this stuff in order for it to be accessed. So obviously don't stay away from your computer that long, and if you are, just turn it off. So there you go. Just warning you guys in case you don't know. Now you know, and if you did know, well, go tell a friend. Might help. Did you know that you can save the planet one person at a time? Just tell another person, hey, you get Rickrolled. You'll save them, and they'll thank you for it. Moving on to the next article of today. Because the Apple Watch Series 4 came out, people are like, oh yeah, well, let's do this comparison. So they're comparing the Samsung Galaxy Watch versus the Apple Watch Series 4. And, one is a better value, and the other is likely to sell millions more. So they get into this, and they say usage statistics reveal that one of the primary uses of a smartwatch is health and fitness tracking. As a result, Samsung's Galaxy Watch and the Apple Watch Series 4 enhance and promote these features. Neither can provide as much as a focused GPS sports watch, but they are both adequate for the masses. Samsung and Apple each have a different approach to smartwatch, with Samsung going the more traditional route as its Galaxy Watch has a round design with a slick rotating bezel to help you quickly navigate. Apple continues to release its square Apple Watch with touch gestures and a small spinning digital crown used for navigation. Both are optimized for ease of use now that Apple and Samsung have released several generations of smartwatches. So, if you take a closer look at the tail of these two watches and compare specs, well, looks, well, they seem to be different display size-wise. Dimensions are obviously different. One is circular, one is square. Both are water-resistant up to 50 meters. The Galaxy Watch is made of stainless steel, while the Apple Watch 4 is made out of aluminum and stainless steel. The Galaxy Watch has 4 gigabytes of storage, while the Apple Watch 4 has 16 gigabytes. The Galaxy Watch has a battery life of 4 to 6 days, while the Apple Watch 4 has up to 18 hours of battery life. And finally, the Galaxy Watch clocks in at $350. Get it? While the Apple Watch 4 clocks in at $400 to $800. Now, it's interesting, because they came out with the recent news at yesterday's keynote, it seems like the Apple Watch is a lot more health-centric focused. You can actually do a lot more health-related things on the new Apple Watch, such as doing an ECG or monitoring heart and pulse. And if you happen to fall or trip, it'll actually monitor that, and as well as irregular heartbeats. And I actually call the police or emergency services on your behalf, depending on what you need. And it's actually quite impressive what Apple is trying to do here, but Samsung Galaxy seems to be going for a more traditional approach. So it's interesting. Which one do you prefer? Do you prefer the Samsung Galaxy, or do you prefer the Apple Watch 4? Now, obviously, Apple Watch 4 isn't exactly out yet, so we probably can't test it out already. But one function that's interesting to Samsung is that it supports sleep tracking. The newest version of Tizen, Samsung's wearable OS, and a Galaxy Watch support advanced sleep tracking with REM, light, and deep sleep modes identified when you wear the watch at night. Sleep is a very important health statistic and is one major function lacking in the Apple Watch Series 4. Now, I just covered that health and wellness is a focus of both watches. Apple's focusing more on heart rate tracking, last generation heart rate monitoring capability helped, well, it has actually helped a couple of people discover a heart irregularity that may have saved their lives. Apple also provides fall detection, which makes it a very compelling product for older generations where falls might be more prevalent and or dangerous. Both watches support automatic workout detection, so they can track and record data even if you forget to press start for your exercise. Samsung Health is used to gather data on a Galaxy Watch, while Apple Health is used on the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch Series 4 can only be used with an iPhone, while the Galaxy Watch works with both iOS and Android, so you can use the Galaxy Watch no matter which smartphone you own. Both smartwatches support a plethora of band options, so both support fully customizing your wearable experience. Now, while the Samsung Galaxy Watch offers more for less, it's a very compelling smartwatch, but, well, millions of people will love their Apple Watch, and we'll obviously see Apple sell millions more next week. So, we haven't exactly had a chance to put Apple Watch Series 4 through the paces, but when some people have, we'll keep you guys up to date, if that's the news that you want to know about. If you don't, we'll just say, hey, I don't want to know about this, and I won't tell you guys, but if you do, I'll let you know. That's kind of how it works. You can just yell at Octavius. I'll tell him how to use Twitter. We're on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget, and then I'll have Octavius look at it, and then we'll deduce from there what to do going forward. Moving on to the next article of today. Niantic is rolling out a suggestion system for new Pokemon Go locations. So, Pokemon Go users far and wide, maybe your prayers have finally been answered, and you can finally request a new Pokestop or gym at a location that's more landmarky? More prominent, maybe something that more accessible, actually in a public area, isn't on an island in the middle of nowhere, that you can't get to without rowing a boat for 2 hours, is by a bunch of people, can easily be fought over and contested, you know, things like that. Obviously, you know the drill if you've been a Pokemon Go player. The Pokestops and gyms have been placed in real-world locations derived from Niantic's previous GPS game, Ingress. Now the developer is slowly rolling out the ability for Pokemon Go players to nominate their own places of interest to be integrated into the game. The suggestion system is currently only available to players in Brazil and South America. Ow. I don't want to read the rest of this article. Octavius, I don't live there. Okay, he said if you do, that's great for you. That's great. I don't want to read the rest of it. It's not even rolled out in the US yet. Well, he says it's in testing right now. If it goes well, it should progress to other countries. I sure hope so, okay? If it doesn't, I'm gonna bring Spider-Man out, and Spider-Man can sit next to you, and then you guys can be buddy-buddy or fight each other. I don't know, it'd be great. We'll do bets and stuff. He's telling me he'd win. Because Spider-Man sucks. Anyways, back to the article. Brazil and South Korea have been, obviously, the only two in this testing phase so far. It's currently limited to players who have reached level 40 and is limited to 7 suggestions per person per week. For those users, suggesting a new in-game location is as simple as taking a picture, writing a brief description, and uploading your location to Niantic. It seems inevitable that the suggestion system will eventually roll out to the rest of the game's player base, which has been seeing a significant uptick during the warmer summer months. In the meantime, Niantic has posted a couple of FAQs detailing what makes for a good Pokestop suggestion. So for those of you interested, listen up. Places with historic, artistic, or educational value are likely to get approved by Niantic's reviewers, as well as public parks, libraries, places of worship, transit stations, or other hidden gems and gathering places that are available to the public. Locations on private residences, temporary installations, cemeteries, graffiti tags, and adult-oriented businesses are among types of locations that are ineligible, according to Niantic. Suggestion features should help expand the accessibility of Pokemon Go to more locations, especially for rural players who lack access to the densely packed Pokestops of the big city. So who knows? Maybe the expansion of in-game points of interest will also reduce some of the motivations for players who use GPS spoofing cheat programs to access more lucrative play locations. So, coming out sometime soon here in the US and elsewhere in the world? Who knows? We'll see. But obviously, this is another suggestion that we've been waiting on Niantic for years to implement, and once they do, it'll finally be great. We'll all be happy, and we'll all snap our phones in half because it'll be locations all over the place, and we don't know what to do anymore, and we have no more room in our inventory, and we can't stand the thought of fighting or trading or sleeping or I don't know. I don't get the people who walk around with like two or three different phones and play Pokemon Go all day and all night. I don't understand. Okay, I got a full-time job and I do this on the side, so I can't exactly do that, but if you do, that's great for you. More power to you. But for people like me, I enjoy it at times. So for those of you Pokemon Go players in the chat, hey, let me know. Is this a feature that you've been waiting to hear about for a while? Or if you're not in the live chat, you could let us know on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget, if you're excited about this suggestion feature, if you'd like to see it rolling out to your place of residence sometime soon, or if you don't care at all and you could tell Niantic to go pound sand because you're done with the game. So, moving on. 7 stupid things you can do in Forza Horizon 4. Now, this is a video that just came out earlier today by Eurogamer, and you guys are going to kick out of this one. Now, I'm going to play a video, and for those of you listening, you're going to be like, what in the world's going on? Hey, you should be joining us over at mixer.com/technewsgadget to watch the show live. There is video that goes along with this. We're only going to look at a couple of the things that you can do in Forza Horizon 4. And then the rest I'll have linked to in the show notes that you can find over at Tech News Gadget for this episode. And you can go have a laugh. I know there's at least a good handful of you looking forward to this game. So let's dig into it and see what we get.
Some people... wrong people will tell you that the Forza Horizon games are all about racing. Well, old sensible Higton is here to tell you that while Forza Horizon 4 is technically a racing game, it doesn't have to be. Go looking hard enough and there are plenty of non-racing things to do, although unfortunately those things are all a little bit stupid. In fact, some of them are more than a little stupid. Some of them could get you put in prison, so don't go doing any of the following in real life. Do you hear? Oh, and before we crack on with the stupidity, here's a quick shout out to our sponsors, the Huawei Honor Play. Hooray for Huawei! Okay, let's get something really stupid out of the way first. Something that's both antisocial and incredibly disrespectful to the history of the British Isles itself.
Oh boy, here we go.
You see that weird-looking drawing of a horse on a hill there? That is the Uffington White Horse, a prehistoric hill figure which was carved into the side of Whitehorse Hill sometime in the late Bronze Age, which was like 1,000 years before Jesus or something. Now, when I was a wee nipper, I used to live very close to the Uffington White Horse, so close in fact that the area I used to live in was called the Vale of the White Horse. I visited that lovely chalk pony many times in my life, and I feel incredibly proud to have been brought up in the shadow of this perfect prehistoric picture. Which is why I felt really bad when I drove all the way up Whitehorse Hill and started doing wheel spins on the horse's face. Now, in real life, Whitehorse Hill is much, much steeper than this, so actually getting a car up to its face in the first place would be a bit of a mission. But if you did, oh lordy, you'd be thrown in the slammer quicker than the local historians could get you hung, drawn, and quartered. Don't do it!
Oh, you can't do this in real life? Oh, this is a video game. Okay, it's good. We're good.
Forza Horizon 4's biggest gimmick is seasons. And no, I'm not talking about the stuff you add to food to change its flavor. That's seasonings. Nope, I'm talking about spring, summer, autumn, and of course, Johnny's favorite season of all, winter. Once a week, the entire game will change season, and one of the coolest things about that is that each season will change the way you race. Too much snow in winter, for instance, will negatively impact your car's handling, while the muddier months, like spring, will change how much your tyres can grip the terrain when cutting corners. Oh, and in autumn, a fallen leaf will stop all the trains from running. Sorry, that last one wasn't true. That's a bit of British humour for you. Seasons don't just bring about little visual changes, though. They also open up brand new areas to race on. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take lakes, for instance. In spring, summer, and autumn, big lakes will be out of bounds. But in winter, some of them will freeze over, allowing you to drive across them and compete in a series of special events, like drag racing on the ice. So, you're probably wondering where the stupid comes in, right?
Oh,
well, it turns out that most of the watery areas in Forza Horizon 4 are actually super shallow. So, even in the summer months, like
you can still drive over it,
go full throttle into the water without those normal sinking plus drowning consequences. This also means that, with a little bit of effort, you can ram into boats, push them out of the lake, and then take them on a drive around town. It's stupid, pointless, and for some strange reason, the boats turn into ghosts after a while, and then they disappear. Farewell, ghost boat. I'll see you on the other side. Oh, and be warned, it turns out this method doesn't work for the bigger boats.
Oh, they don't move at all.
Damaging other people's
final one we'll take a look at, guys.
Is a crime. That's why the act of damaging other people's property on purpose is called criminal damage. Committing acts of criminal damage is stupid enough already, but when the culprit then records themselves committing said crime, thereby providing proof that they were the culprit all along, well, that's when things get real stupid. And that's where I come in. While most sensible people will be using Forza Horizon 4's photo mode to set up shots of beautiful sports cars glinting in the perfectly framed sunlight, you'll find me smashing into old red phone boxes and other delicate items in order to capture some memorable moments of criminal chaos. Now, doing a crime, snapshotting the evidence, and then popping a filter on it like some kind of out-of-control Instagram celebrity is stupid. But it's not as stupid as doing all of that and then using the game's inbuilt tools to share your crimes with the entire world. No, that's mega stupid and a surefire way to end up in Ashbrook Nick while all the other racers get to enjoy the Horizon Festival.
Oh boy. And it's saving. Alright. I had to cut him off there, but... You get the drift. If you want to watch the rest of this, it'll be out at the show notes for this episode of the latest in tech news, and the rest of you can go take a look at the rest of the stupid things that you can do in Forza Horizon 4. Let's just say the graphics look awesome. I have a couple of buddies who are very much looking forward to this game, and well, be that as it may, I think after a while, after all the fun wears off about it, well, we'll probably resort to stupid stuff like this. And a whole host of other things to come. So, that's just some of what you can do. The final news for today actually isn't technically news, but I will have a link to this out at the show notes, which you can find. Obviously, I've been saying it way too much. You can probably quote it back to me. Yep. TechNewsGadget.net will have a link to this article, and probably will embed the video, but a group of people went out and decided to build a $2,000 custom gaming PC. Now, here's the interesting thing. They wanted to build a custom PC for gaming, editing, or coding, but you don't need to spend thousands of dollars to build a great desktop. Although, if you spend more upfront, the longer your PC will remain current. And that's just a standard that goes across time. So, what they managed to do here is that... Well, the beauty of building your own Windows desktop is that you can price and build exactly to your needs. For example, if you're a video editor, a lot of your building costs will be going towards extra RAM and hard drive space to store your projects. In the example build here, they wanted to build a PC that would excel at playing high-end video games now and for the next few years. Now, in order to do that, they had to prioritize having a great GPU or a graphics card so that they could play popular titles at their highest graphical setting, and eventually to upgrade to an RTX 2080 to support future titles in HD or 4K that use ray tracing. Now, I've covered that in the past about what ray tracing is. The budget that they set for this was $2,000 all in, including a license for Windows 10 Home. Now, obviously, it's not cheap, and not every one of you can afford that, but it's enough to ensure that the PC will still be capable a few years down the road. So, that's about all I'm going to cover on this, and this link to this video and the article, and everybody who wants to check out all the details and all the specs and all the steps and setting it all up and putting it all together, and if anything inspiring you towards thinking about your own custom gaming rig should be very much beneficial. And then what you can do is, well, actually what I did when I was starting this whole tech nerd geek phase, I don't know what it was. I had fun ripping apart electronics and just looking at them and trying to put it back together and failing miserably. And then I found out I actually liked computers. So what I did then is I said, hey, rather than use my parents' PC or computer and hog that all the time, what if I go and I save up some money and then purchase my own computer, and then it's my computer and I can do with it whatever I want? Sure enough, I did. It took me a couple of months or so. Granted, I was a teenager during the time. But, you know, it kind of gives you an entrepreneurial spirit. It gives you a goal to work towards. And I think that's very beneficial and helpful in this day and age, even more so now, because it forces you to go outside of yourself, to go and do something to make a difference, and then save money towards the goal. And then once you have all of the money saved towards that goal, walking into a computer store, telling them exactly the computer that you wanted, giving them all of that money that you saved and earned, and you owning it 100%. You don't have to worry about any payment plans. You don't have to worry about any credit cards. Great. It's awesome. Highly satisfying. And so that's something that you could certainly get into. And this should just provide you some inspiration. Granted, I only saved like $600 to $800 at the time. Paid for it all in cash. $2,000 if you want a custom gaming rig or stuff to do down the road is certainly doable. And if you're older, obviously, you can just, while you're working at your job, set money aside, budget it aside. Don't touch it at all. Put it in your savings account and wait until you reach that goal and then go and purchase it 100% paid off, and you'll be good to go for quite a while. So that will wrap up the tech news articles that we have for today. By the way, in case we happen to miss anything or is something that you want us to keep you informed on, hey, let us know in the chat or on Twitter at Tech News Gadget, or you can send us an email, technewsgadget@gmail.com. Hey, we want to provide you guys articles that matter to you, news that matters to you, and things you want to hear about, and not so much what Octavius wants to hear about here, because he's all drooling over. You're seriously drooling over a custom-built gaming rig PC? Big baby. Yeah, see, so more entertaining articles that would be, that you would enjoy. let us know. That will wrap it up for this episode of the latest in tech news. I am your host, Taylor Merrick, and this show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.